I saw on Facebook on the way into Yeshiva this morning, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg from Boca Raton posted a story which I liked very much. I forgot which of the rebbes it was. Maybe the Kohlensberger Rebbe or something like that, was a survivor of the Shoah, was a Holocaust survivor. And he had 11 of his children and his wife killed in an Auschwitz or one of the camps, I don't remember exactly. And a man walked up to the Rebbe and said to him, Rebbe, you've rebuilt the Chassidish dynasty, you've done so much, how do you continue moving on? Where do you gather the strength from? And the Rebbe answered in two words, B'damayich chayim. Pasuk in, I think it's Yecheskel. So the man said, what you mean by that is, B'damayich, with the blood, chaya, you live. And you mean that we're going to die, but we're going to keep on living? Something along the lines of V'hi sha'amda? Every single generation. Om demaleinu l'chal u'seinu. And by the way, until about 2 or 3 years ago, I thought we had passed it. Maybe it was a chisaron of maimun and chazal. Until about 5 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe even this summer, I felt we were past the generation of anti-Semitism. The Western world is pluralistic, politically correct enough not to allow for anti-Semitism. We're no longer living in what we used to live in. No longer the shtetl, no longer the ghetto, no longer... Are we without a country? And the difference between whether or not you have a country or not is whether you're a guest or a shnur. If you have somewhere else to go, you're a guest. If you have nowhere else to go, you're a homeless shnur. Certain things nationally, we have a homeland. I really believed, if you would have asked me, and I lived, thank God, most of my life, I'm only 36, I wish I had many more years ahead of me, as well as all of us. Most of my life, I felt the 80s, the 90s, the early 21st century, anti-Semitism was gone. I never experienced it. I remember one time as a kid, I was coming home from shul, and I put my keep in my pocket because I was embarrassed. I saw one of my friends who wasn't religious. And my dad said, when we were kids, you had two choices with a keep on. You weren't embarrassed to see someone. You either had to run because they were going to fight you, or you got ready to fight, or you got lucky and they ignored you. I was thinking to myself, I never, ever experienced. I've seen it in movies. People making fun of Jews because they were Jews or wanted to fight Jews because they were Jews. But it's like something I didn't grow up with that type of world. Never in my life have I experienced real anti-Semitism. And this past summer, protective edge. So many times, I think the world reminded, at least me, B'chol dar v'dar, Om demaleinu l'chal u'seinu. And I thought, it spoke to me very strongly. This year I sang it. Leil HaSeder, I felt it much more profound than ever in my life before, much more powerfully. It's just built into the metaphysics of the world. In any event, he asked the Rebbe, is that what you mean? That we're going to live, but we're going to die. Nonetheless, we're going to keep on living. There's going to be part of the schus of being a chosen nation is the tragedy of anti-Semitism is the challenge and catastrophe of murder and death and killings and beatings and a lot of the negative dark parts of our national history. We've all heard them, we've all known them, we're all raised knowing that the world for most of its world history has been somewhat, if not a lot, of an anti-Semitic place. Is that what you mean, Rabbi? The Rebbe said, no. That wasn't what gave me the strength. Although the man's Havamina, I think, was valuable and worthwhile as well to talk about, to think about. The Rebbe said, B'damayich, it's a code referring to actually something in, I'm not sure if it's this week's Parsha or last or next week's Parsha, depending on whether you were here for Pesach or not, but it says in Parsha Shmini, Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. After the tragedy, after he lost his two sons, Aaron was silent. The point is highlighted by the Rashbam, who writes right there on Chumash, the greatest Kiddush Hashem one could make is to continue serving Hashem after tragedy. I don't understand. I'm not giving explanations. Not like Moshe, who tried to comfort Aaron. Aaron simply was silent, with no response, no understanding. I serve God because that's what I do. This is what the Rebbe explained. The Damai Chaya is referring to Vayidom, the Dam, the silence. With my silence, Chaya Ali, I serve Hashem because it's the right thing to do. When it's difficult, I do it. When it's easy, I do it. After I lose 11 children and it's difficult for me to continue on, I do it. I thought this perspective on the Holocaust maybe these two perspectives on the Holocaust are important. Number one is that we're not past the historical point of anti-Semitism. The Prime Minister was talking about last night, so you saw it all over the news, if you read the news this morning, the world did not internalize the lessons from the Holocaust, obviously in reference to Iran, the nuclear program, the nuclear deal, whatever's going on with that. And there is a sense of anti-Semitism continues, you should be aware of it. And we should try our best to fight it, to stand up strong and to protect and to build, and after tragedy, to rebuild as well. If you look in the beginning of the Encyclopedia Talmud, there's those big yellow books. So if I'm not mistaken, it was, I forget if it was Rav Zevin, or if it was Rav Meir Berlin, who writes a little hakdama in the beginning. And he writes, after the Holocaust, Judaism was just utterly distraught, broken down and destroyed. Communities and cities and individuals and yeshivas and shuls and people and families and everything was just destroyed. And I realized with my life, I have to live three times the stick. I have to become three people. It was my job to rebuild. And in a nation where there's constant challenges of oppression, we have to constantly be rebuilding and constantly be strengthening. My mother tells a story. We have four children in our family. She's like, I wanted only two. But I realized I felt after the Holocaust was my job to rebuild and have four and bring four into the world. It's not a push for extra Q in Peru. It's just a perspective. And whether it's putting out a safer, or whether it's having children, or whether it's inspiring other Jews to maintain part of his responsibility to continue building. The Chassid's understanding of what the Rebbe meant, even though it was only a half a minute. And the second hashgafic conclusion to draw is that you don't understand. We don't know. We don't know why. But Soloveitchik writes in Kol Dodi Dofeik, asking why is the wrong question, because you'll never have an answer. We don't know why. The finite, limited comprehension we have will never grasp the understanding of why God does or allows for what he does or allows for in this world. The best we can do is react. Why? I don't know. But how do I respond? And the answer is I continue serving Hashem. Because I didn't serve Hashem only because he was good to me. I didn't do mitzvahs only because life was great. I didn't do mitzvahs because I have zochah to have 11 children. I didn't do mitzvahs because life was good in Poland before the Holocaust. I do mitzvahs because that's what Hashem wants out of me. I serve Hashem because that's what I believe is correct. And when it's good for me or bad for me, enjoyable or unenjoyable, fun, light and bright or dark, I'm silent and I keep on building because that's what I believe Rosh Hashem is in this world. And on Yom HaShoah, a day where the siren rang and you stand there silently for a minute or two, reflecting, and the rest of the day, a chance to reflect with a perspective on history, these ideas and others should be the ones that give us chizuk to move forward in the right and proper direction. We should have a meaningful day.